It's Tuesday, September 26th, and you're welcome to this podcast from Black Knight, Ireland's leader for domain names and web hosting. This is Colin Muinichon in the Black Knight studio, and I'm joined on Skype from his office at Black Knight HQ in Carlow by our CEO, Michaela Nealon. Hi, Michaela, how are you?
How's it going, Colin?
Good. I want to talk today about the IE domain registration process. There's a public consultation open at the moment inviting people to express their opinions in relation to a policy change in relation to the requirements for registering .ie domains. Can you explain to us what is that policy change that's being proposed? First of all, what are the current rules for .ie domains? What do you have to prove to get your entitlement to register a .ie domain name?
Well, that depends, Colin. I mean, at the moment, the rules are quite complicated. You know, there's different requirements depending on who you are, what you are, and what you purport to be doing with a domain that you don't even have yet. So if, say, for example, you're registering a domain on behalf of an Irish limited company and the domain name is very close to the company name, then all you would need to do is provide your company number. And the same if you're a sole trader trading as, you know, whatever. If the domain name is close to the business name that you're using, the CRO number would be fine. But once you start looking at anything outside of that, then it becomes incredibly subjective. I mean, you're talking about providing, up until quite recently, letters where you would have to explain, you know, why you wanted to register a domain name, why you want to register that particular domain name, how the choice of the domain name itself was related to what you were planning to do, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it was quite a complicated, convoluted process. And the entire thing, very, very manual, highly subjective, highly problematic, and it rendered the .ie namespace to be, you know, much less attractive than alternatives.
Now, I'm going to talk to you in a while, Michaela, about some of the arguments that are made in favour of providing all this documentation and this proof of your claim to the name and all of that, and some of the reasons why that has been done in the past. But just to focus for a moment, if you like, on the difficulties with the current process, and I posted on Facebook yesterday, for example, that in at least two or three situations recently, in the very recent past, I have been trying to get a domain name for a friend or to get someone, help somebody, a neighbour, a friend or a client to get a website up and running. And I've said, okay, we need your driving licence, we need this and that and the other thing. We need this kind of documentation in relation to registering a .ie domain. Or you could just register a .com or a .net or something similar. And in many cases, there are a lot of Irish people, individuals and companies who are saying, oh, just give me the simple domain name, a simple process. When can I have it up and running? Within the hour? Well, that makes a lot more sense to a lot more people. It's a lot more attractive, and it makes those domains a lot more popular in many cases than .ie.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, ultimately, a domain name, what is it? I mean, all it is it's a label, it's a pointer, it's a way that you can, you know, promote your brand, promote your business. There's a lot of things you can load into a domain name. But essentially, if you're looking at a small business and you want to get yourself online, you want to have a digital presence, and you want to get away from the freebie email address, all that kind of thing, you want to get a domain name quickly and easily. Getting a .ie is more of a problem. So you're going to end up going, okay, well, I can register a .com and be done in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I can register a dot space or a dot online or a dot eu or a dot co or any one of these domains quickly and easily, and ultimately it will do the same job, because that's all it is. I mean, as I say, it's just a pointer.
What are the actual specific requirements that are needed right now? There are two things that are required. One is that you have to have a connection to Ireland, and that rule isn't going to change, Michaela.
No, that rule won't change.
Okay.
If you want to look at it in terms of what that means in reality, it's what you might call registrant verification, validation. So the registry will still be asking us as registrars to get information, evidence, what have you, from the client to show that quote-unquote connection to Ireland. Mm. Now, in the case of a business, that's pretty simple, because most businesses will either have a registered business of some kind, or in the case of some of those who don't quite fit into that, they'll be able to show something fairly simple, to, you know, show that they actually exist as an entity of some kind, be that a letter from an accountant, something from their bank. You know, there's a ton of different ways of doing that. Under the current process and rules, then it's, you know, you get into this subjective, messy area around, you know, why that particular domain. But what's being proposed is to remove that. So you'd get it reduced down to show your connection to Ireland.
Okay. So the show your connection to Ireland is one thing that you can prove. The second point there, Michele, and this is the proposed change to the policy, is to remove the requirement where you have to demonstrate what the purpose or what your relationship is to the actual specific name. So, for example, if I'm just selling meatballs, let's say, and my name is Conor Muinichon, Meatballs Limited or something like that, I can still register meatballs.ie because that's related to my business. That's what's called the claim to the name. But suppose I'm in the meatballs business, Michele, and I decide I want to go start selling, I want to get into photography, for example. Okay.
Well, I mean, I can give you a simpler example.
Okay, please do.
I can give you a much simpler one.
Yeah.
So let's say that, okay, I'll take, you know, you in a previous life, you were Conor Muinichon operating as Edgecast Media.
Yes.
So let's say, so Edgecast Media, you did a bunch of different things. One of them was looking after podcasts. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to register, say, something like podcastprofessionals.ie, you would have to have written up something explaining the connection between Podcast Professionals and Edgecast Media.
Exactly.
So in the case of, let's say, well, actually taking Butchers, for example, you look at any big food company, it's going to have some fairly generic name, like, I don't know, Carlo Meat Processors Limited or something like that. Now, they don't trade as that. They're going to trade under, you know, a bunch of different names that are, you know, a little bit more attractive, more interesting for the public. But so registering domains in .ie for each one of those, they would have to have either gone off and got a registered business name, or they'd have had to have provided this rationale thing, which, again, you know, very, very subjective and, you know, very, very manual, because each and every request for a domain name has to be dealt with separately on its own merits.
And this is the thing, you will still have to prove in relation to condition one, you'll still have to prove your connection to Ireland. You'll have to show, as you say, some kind of documentation in relation to that. That is not being changed. What is being changed is the part where you provide a rationale for your use of a particular word. And that, as you say, is subjective. It can be literally a declaration. You type in a few words in a form and say, I am planning to develop a business selling cameras and photographic equipment or something like that, and that's why I want to get lenses.ie or something like that. Yeah. But the point is, Michele, that particular requirement doesn't require anything more than a statement on your part in many cases, but it still has to be manually verified and adjudicated on by staff. Is it staff at the registrar like Black Knight, or by staff at the IE domain registry that do that?
Well, both in many respects.
Okay. So,
because ultimately, you know, we end up spending a lot of time going backwards and forwards between us and our client, and us and IEDR. So, like, so let's say, for argument's sake, say client orders a domain name at 10 a.m. on a Monday, and provides what they think is, you know, reasonable explanation and everything else, and that is queried. So you can end up with this backwards and forwards type thing. But the point, though, is that, you know, as you mentioned earlier, some people assume that there are all sorts of safeguards around .ie domain names. There aren't. There really aren't. I mean, that's a wonderful myth. I mean, it's not true at all. Like, there is more validation. There's more there is kind of more validation and verification of the registrant, but there isn't like some super duper proactive policing of the namespace. And in common with other namespaces, they're not actively looking at the content and a lot of things like that.
So from a cost-benefit point of view, Michele, there's no benefit being offered by this requirement to prove your claim to the name on the one hand, and but there is a cost associated with it, and a manual cost in terms of human resources put into actually querying and questioning and discussing in relation to whether or not somebody is entitled to a particular domain string. So what this change would propose then in that case, Michele, is that you can register any string you want, any combination of letters and words or anything like you want, .ie, as long as you're entitled to it by having a connection to Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it's all you need is to show the connection to Ireland. It's very similar to how the .ca registry for Canada handles it. I mean, they have like a they've actually made it even simpler.
Mm.
But essentially, you can register pretty much anything you want as long as you are able to show that connection to Canada. But I mean, the thing, like, you know, when you're talking about, you know, what people perceive as being problems with domains, you know, they're always looking at it in terms of worst case scenarios, kind of end of days type tragedies, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that if you look at the entire ecosystem covering both the ccTLDs, so the .ie's, .fr, .eu's, .uk, and then the gtlds, your .coms, and all the others, the actual percentage of domain names across the entire ecosystem that are actually involved in serious issues is minuscule. It's not it isn't a problem across the entire thing. So the kind of concerns that people are raising, I think, are ill-founded.
And those concerns include suggestions that, for example, domains can be hijacked and abused. But that's actually not a domain issue. That can often be the case where an existing valid site gets hacked. That's nothing at all to do with whether or not the owners of that domain had the had it validly registered or not.
Oh, no, totally, exactly. I mean, I can't remember off the top of my head the exact percentage, but, you know, of what we see is a very large percentage of websites that are being used for various forms of phishing, distribution of malware, and other forms of online abuse. The domain name is perfectly legitimate. The website is perfectly legitimate. It's just that they're running an out-of-date version of WordPress or Joomla or one of these other content management systems, and somebody has managed to hack in there and is using part of the website to serve out this well, let's just say, junk. But the instance of domain names being solely registered in order to perpetrate abuse in terms of phishing and things like that is significantly lower.
Now, one of the things another argument that people have made is in relation to an intellectual property infringement. What's to stop somebody going and taking my business name and registering that .ie? At the moment, it can be argued that this claim to the name requirement means that that's something that actually will perhaps stop them from doing that. But as it turns out, Michele, there are perfectly good, not just laws and rules and regulations in relation to this, but there is an already in-place dispute policy in relation to intellectual property disputes.
Yeah, well, I mean, in common with a lot of country codes, IDR adopted what they call the IEDRP, which is the IE domain dispute. It's basically the IDR's version of the UDRP. So the UDRP is Uniform Dispute Resolution Process, which is used by .com and all the others. The IEDRP is a variant on that. Same kind of concept. It's handled by WIPO, the World Intellectual Property Organization. So if you discover that somebody has registered a domain name that is infringing on your trademarks, then you can lodge a complaint. And it's, you know, the defendant has to show that, well, you have to show that they're infringing and they have to show that they aren't. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. But there is a process there already.
And it's no different from a process that applies in lots of other domains and registries around the world. This isn't difficult and it's already dealt with.
It's already dealt with. It's not particularly difficult. I mean, the only real criticism one could raise around it is one of price. Mm. I mean, to lodge an IEDRP is not a cheap process. I mean, you're talking about spending a few thousand euro between the fees directly and then, of course, the legal fees you'd incur with it. Mm. So one of the things that the IEDRP's Policy Advisory Committee has been looking at is potentially a simpler, lighter form of dispute arbitration that would be more for, well, I think in some respects would be, this kind of slam dunk type thing. So let's say somebody goes off and registers a domain name that's an exact match or very, very close match to a company's trademark, where the trademark is an invented word. So, you know, that, like, if somebody was to go off and register Black Knight Solutions with, I don't know, an extra K in it or something, blackknightsolutions.ie with two Ks, well, you know, they'd have a painful experience with our lawyers, I can assure you. But, you know, that would be a clear, unambiguous kind of situation. So that's something that I think is being looked at, it's being explored. But I mean, ultimately, there already is a process there. And, you know, the cost for .ie domain names, they are a bit more expensive than some other country codes and .com. Mm. But the pricing, the price around for a .ie has dropped quite a bit over the years. So for anybody who is serious about their intellectual property, they're probably registering the .ie domains anyway. So, you know, it's not too much of a problem.
Another criticism that has been raised, Michele, about this is that it could lead to increased speculation in domain names and people buying domains for investment purposes, holding on to them, looking to sell them for that they would appreciate. Perhaps you would develop a domain and it would appreciate in value and then sell it on for a profit later on. Some people kind of have feel that this is a bad thing and we don't necessarily want to have that. But could I put it to you, Michele, that this, if you like, an aftermarket and buying, selling and speculation and investment in domain names isn't necessarily a bad thing and is something which can be viewed as perhaps looking at other domain registries for comparison. It can actually be viewed as a kind of barometer of health for a particular domain registry.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, ultimately, you know, if you don't have dispute resolution policies and processes there, then you would probably end up with rank abuse. But with fairly robust dispute resolution processes, then the real issue of actual cyber squatting becomes a non-issue. Mm. Now, in terms of people getting involved in forms of speculation with domain names, that's not a bad thing. I mean, think of domain names a bit like online real estate. Mm. Nobody is going to turn around in a normal capitalist Western democracy and restrict people's ability to trade in property. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. I mean, the entire system would fall apart if you did. And as long as, you know, people are actually paying all the taxes and all that, it's perfectly okay. So, you know, you look at a good neighborhood. I mean, what is a good neighborhood? It's a neighborhood people want to live in. It's a neighborhood people want to invest in. Mm. And if your domain name space is like that, and people are actually trading actively in the domain, so that means it's an attractive place to hang out.
And the point about being able to buy and sell domain names, Michele, is that it's a way of realising investment and reaping the rewards of actual work that you've put in. And it hasn't been, again, just to come back to this, Michele, it hasn't been a problem in other namespaces, Michele, that these, I suppose, red flags and warning signs that people are pointing out, these aren't necessarily bad things and they don't necessarily cause problems.
No, and I mean, ultimately, you know, if you look at, you're always going to find a very small number of people and companies who are going to try and take advantage and who are going to try and abuse the system. But they're in the minority. Mm.
And that's
The thing is this: when you're talking about policies and rules, be that the government stuff set by government or stuff managed by private entities, you need to look at it in terms of what works for the largest number of people, not setting things up in such a way that you're penalizing everybody just on the off chance that a very small number of people and companies might potentially abuse things.
And to come back to the specific change and the specific requirement that we're talking about right now, it's not backed up by documentation or anything like that. It's a subjective declaration on the part of the registrant as to how they propose to use the domain. So it's not in practice offering any of the protections that people are talking about here. And on the other hand, it does impose a burden and a cost. And that's a cost, ultimately, Michele, which is reflected in the price of .ie domain names.
Totally. I mean, the thing is this: like, if you you take, say, .eu domain names, if you look across, but what we offer them at and what other registrars are offering them at, they're below 10 euro, I'd say, in many cases. And maybe if they're over 10 euro, they're going to be below 20. I mean, it's not an expensive domain name. You can register for between 1 and 10 years, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, they're looking for is that the address be in the European Union.
And it's as simple as that. And there's no, you don't have to prove a claim to the name or anything like that.
Nothing. No. And if you look at the number of disputes, and if you look at issues around cybersecurity concerns, phishing, all of that kind of thing, of course there's abuse, but the percentages are negligible. I mean, you're talking about a namespace with about 3 million names registered. And yet, if you think of it like a namespace being like a country, so you take, say, 3 million, that's what the population of Ireland was when we were growing up.
Yeah.
Since we're both the wrong side of 40. So there was there crime in Ireland in the 1970s and 1980s? Of course there was. Hmm. Was every single inhabitant of, the country a criminal? No. Hmm. Were we living in a police state? No. And it's the same when you're looking at domain policy. You know, you're going to have the outliers who are going to abuse. That's always going to be the case. You have it now, you'll have it in the future. I mean, have a look at like EU Browser and some of these other cases in the past where people were trying to game the system. And they got, they lost domains in IDRP. I mean, they lost because they were infringing on brands, trademarks, and everything else. And that will happen in the future, but it shouldn't. The greater good is let's end up in a situation where somebody can, that their choice between .com and .ie, simply which one gives me the name I want.
You mentioned .ca for Canada, Michele. What about a little bit closer to home in relation to .uk? And the reason I ask you about .uk is that is a fully automated process. There is no manual verification whatsoever required in that. We're not proposing here that IE moves as far as that. But how does that operate in practice, for example, in the case of .uk?
Well, in the case of .uk, the biggest namespace they have is .co.uk. Which is gigantic. I mean, gigantic in Irish terms. So they literally have millions of domain names registered there. And all that really happens with that is that as the registrars have to make sure that the contact details provided are valid, as it were. And then from time to time, the registry will do a couple of checks to make sure that the contact details, if there are contact details that look a little bit suspect, that they're dealt with in some way. That's it. I mean, it's simple, it's straightforward, it's not complicated.
And is it abused?
As much as any other namespace is.
Okay. No.
In other words, of course, yes, but in real terms, it's a non-issue.
Okay.
It's a non-issue. Like they have the CoUK have what they call the DRS, which is the Dispute Resolution Service. And the DRS, it's all explained on their website. Very, very, very straightforward. Very, very, very simple. And you know, if people or organizations register domain names intentionally to infringe, then sure.
Michele, let's talk about what are the advantages to this proposed change. So we're talking about retaining the requirement to prove that you are have a connection to Ireland, but removing this requirement to actually declare that you have a claim to the name. As we've already discussed, it offers very little protection. It doesn't offer any practical protection whatsoever, and it certainly is a burden on people and on individuals. What would be the advantages, do you think, of simplifying this process and removing that policy requirement?
Well, it should mean that registering a .ie domain name becomes significantly easier for Irish businesses.
Will it become cheaper?
Over time, I'd say yes. Over time, it will. I mean, at the moment, you know, the real price for a .ie domain name is around 20-25 euro. Mm-hmm. Some registrars may be offering discounts, but if you look at how much they're charging on renewal, it's about 20, 25, thereabouts. And the reason for that is there's two parts to it. One, the fee that's charged by IEDR, and two, hey, we're not charities, we obviously need to make money. Pay our bills, pay our staff, etc. So, you know, there is markup there, and that covers the fact that it's really, really, really manual. So I think over time, with the simpler rules, the cost on the registrar side in terms of manpower, labor, and everything else in dealing with the stuff will be significantly reduced. The costs around in terms of manpower and everything else on the IGR side will be significantly reduced. So ultimately, the pricing should reduce. It should come down.
Okay, so we're in a public consultation process at the moment, Michele. This, as a stakeholder in the Irish domain industry and as an IEDR registrar, Black Knight and others have taken part in the Policy Advisory Committee, and you have debated and considered this policy change. You have recommended it. The board of IEDR, the IE Domain Registry, has also recommended it, and it is being recommended by the board and by the management of IEDR. Now they've invited the public to consider it and to give their opinions on it. That public consultation process is still open, Michele. Until when?
It closes at the end of this month, the end of September.
Okay, that's actually this coming Saturday, the 30th of September. So we're going to put a link in at blackknight.blog, or people can go and visit iedr.ie, where they'll find a link where they can actually submit their opinions on this process as well. And we encourage them to do so.
Oh, please do. I mean, the thing is this, is like, from our perspective, we think the proposed changes are positive. That, you know, this will help the Irish internet as a whole. You know, by making things simpler and easier, we will see, it means that more Irish individuals and more Irish businesses will be able to register their own .ie domain name. And that's a positive thing. And removing blockers and restrictions around registering .ie domain names can only be positive. But people need to tell IEDR. They need to go take the time. It only takes a couple of minutes. Go onto the IEDR website, and there's a couple of questions that they've asked, and just, you know, give your opinion. So that we can then go back and say, right, this is what the people want. So now we can do this. Now, of course, the flip side to it is people could turn around and go, well, no, actually, we don't want this. And that would be terribly unfortunate. But if that is what happens, that is what happens. I mean, there's nothing we can do there.
Okay, Michele, thanks for talking to us.
No problem. Thank you, Colin.